It's 4:45. Our next guest on the program, well-known author of books like Tuesdays with Maury, his newest, The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto, Hall of Fame sports writer, broadcaster. You know him from the Sports Reporters, also does a daily show on WJR in Detroit, and a playwright whose play Duck Hunter Shoots Angel opens this weekend at the Bangor Opera House and Penobscot Theater. Mitch Albom joins us on the GNM Family Market phone line. Mitch, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Sure, thanks for having me on.
Well, very excited to have your play open here in Bangor this weekend. A little bit about the story of Duck Hunter Shoots Angel. Can you tell us a basic plot summary for people who may not know?
It's a comedy about a couple of sort of dim-witted duck hunters who are out there. They never have gotten a duck in all their time, but one day they go out and they think they accidentally shoot down an angel. And they keep telling themselves that, you know, worrying that they're going to go to hell for shooting an angel. And, of course, it seems very ridiculous at the beginning. But as they keep finding feathers and then pieces of a wing and then things like that, it seems like they've actually done it. And if I tell you much more, there might be reason to go see it. But that's sort of the basic premise.
But talking to some of the people in the cast, too, a couple of things that they mentioned, the fact that that's sort of your entree to the story, but from there it gives you a chance to take on matters of prejudice, tabloid journalism, relationships, and also that these guys who sound like characters end up being pretty well-drawn characters who have a little more depth than people might think just hearing the summary.
Well, I'm glad to hear that they said that. It does have some significance by the end. I actually got the idea because I saw a headline many years ago in the National Enquirer, I think it was, or something like that, that pretty much said something like that. A couple, I think they were deer hunters or whatever, shoot an angel, and they had like a mocked-up picture of an angel, you know, with a bullet wound. It was really dumb, but I thought, wow, that would be pretty interesting. And so not only do I have these two guys, but then the word somehow gets out and these tabloid reporters start following them through the muck of the forest. And there's a black cameraman and a reporter and all that. And so a lot of things, as they're kind of all searching, the two guys are searching for the angel and the pieces of the angel. The tabloid reporters are searching for the two guys who are searching for the angel. And as the cast gets bigger and bigger, you sort of see all the different assumptions that they have about one another as they get deeper and deeper into the forest. And then it turns out that there's something very magical about this angel and why it may have been hovering over this particular swamp and everything like that. So it's very funny, and the characters are written to be funny and over the top. And I'm sure there could be some great actors there who could do it justice. But in the end, there's a little message that comes at the end.
Well, Mitch, so many of your works, too, draw on faith and on magic. And where does that come from? And what does that allow you to help teach yourself and teach us about humanity?
Well, that's a really well-phrased question, because that's exactly why I do what you just suggested I do. Long ago, when I had a chance to write Tuesdays with Maury, you know, before it was a book, it was just an experience. It wasn't supposed to be a book. It wasn't supposed to launch a big, huge part of my career. It was just a favor that I did for an old professor of mine who was dying and couldn't afford to pay his medical bills. And so I wrote this little book to try to help him pay his bills, not ever thinking it would turn into something. But that experience of sitting with a guy who you respected for a long time while you're healthy and he's not, and watching him die, really, I don't know, it kind of shook me up and really changed the path that I was on. I was very, very ambitious and very, very much just into sports and sports writing and all that. And it kind of made me think about other things. And after the success of Tuesdays with Maury, I realized, hey, there are interesting stories to tell this way. I also became aware of the fact that you can't make every story life and death and this is the meaning of life and here's the big gong of the thing. You know, people just don't want that while they're alive. And yet it remains the most important issue that we have, you know, what's important in life before we die. So I kind of have taken over the years these approaches to magic and these far-fetched stories, even the Magic Strings and Frankie Presto is like it sounds. It's about this sort of magical musician who affects people with his playing over the years. But I use that as sort of a device to get people interested, because everybody loves it. It's the same thing as fairy tales or fables. Behind them are some of the most important lessons that we have in our lives. But who doesn't like a story about, you know, seven dwarves or a magical kingdom or something like that? And so I try to do the same thing with my work and not let people know that there might be a message to it until they reach the last page or the last act of a play. And then they go, oh, yeah, there's a good lesson there. And then by that point, you know, they feel okay. It wasn't like going to class.
We're talking with Mitch Albom on Downtown. Duck Hunter Shoots Angel opens this weekend at Penobscot Theater at the historic Bangor Opera House. And I understand you're doing a very cool thing, Skyping in with the cast and director Barry Newport. Obviously, that's going to be great for them. What does that do for you as the playwright?
Oh, I love talking to actors. I'm doing a musical right here in town, in Detroit, where I live, a new show, a musical about hockey, which is kind of ridiculous, and it's a big, huge comedy, and we're having a lot of fun doing it, and I see that, you know, the joy that the actors get when they get to sort of talk to the person who put it together and all, and I get even more out of it. And so when I found out that Duck Hunter was being done in Bangor, and I've been to Bangor because my friend Stephen King lives there or around there, and we came out and did a concert one time with the Rock Bottom Remainders for some charities that he was supporting there. And so I've been out there, and I figure, well, Stephen's probably got something to do with it, or tangentially anyhow. He probably has the season tickets to the theater or something like that. I should find out more about this when I heard it was being done there. It's been done in a lot of places, but when I heard Bangor, Maine, I just thought, well, let me reach out to them. And they didn't ask me or whatever. I just called and said, hey, if you guys want to talk to me and just want to wish you well. And they said, great. And so, yeah, I'm Skyping with them later on tonight, I guess. And I'm just curious, you know, whenever you create something, it's always interesting to hear the people who are participating in it, their point of view and what they think it's about. Sometimes they make you feel very good. Like, they make you feel you created something that was much deeper than you thought it was when you wrote it. I wasn't thinking real deep about Duck Hunter Shoots Angel, but since it's been out for the last 10 years or so, people have really taken to it.
Well, I remember when you were up here, I want to say maybe about 10 years ago with the Rock Bottom Remainders,
yeah.
Dave Barry, Amy Tan, you guys came by the studio and put on a terrific show. And music has been a big part of your life as well, but also your career from writing to broadcasting. You were one of the early guys to make that move into television, the sports reporters, and more. That's taken on a life of its own in recent years. And I remember your conversation in your acceptance speech down in Salisbury a few years back when you were admitted into the Sportscasters Hall of Fame, Sports Writers Hall of Fame. And you talked about that and talked about being true to the word, but also true to the people that you've covered through the years. Are we getting away from that with some of what we see now, some of the talking heads out there in the TV sports business?
Well, that's a really good question and point, and I feel very lucky that I got a chance to be in the journalism and the sports journalism world when I did, because, to be honest, I wouldn't go into it today if I was a young person. It's too angry. It's too opinionated. There's not enough actual reporting work being done. You know, I have a master's degree in journalism. I cut my teeth on fires and police reports the same way that 90% of print journalists used to do. You know, it didn't come out of the gate commenting on Steph Curry. You know, it was high schools and colleges and small sports and minor leagues and having to answer to an ethical set of standards and a set of reporting standards of sources and things like that. And so by the time I got around to having an opinion, I'd like to say it was a somewhat educated one and one that was tinged with being fair and understanding. You don't just say anything and see if it sticks. Unfortunately, a lot of people in today's both broadcast and print world, that's the whole mantra now is make as big a splash as you can, get a name for yourself, and let the chips fall where they will. And I don't need to name any names for anyone who's listening who knows those worlds. People start popping into your head who do that. And that's not what journalism was supposed to be about. It wasn't, at least for me. I'm on the older end of it now, and I'm not creaking and white-haired, but I'm certainly on the veteran side, and I'm glad because at least I can remember a a time when, you know, everything wasn't about internet hits and comments on your story and Twitter connections and who beat who to what little ridiculous piece of trivial sports things and how quickly we want to criticize people and jump on them for losing and all the rest. It's just become a very bitter, angry place, the sports world, and it shouldn't be because it's fun and games. You know, where did that go? You know, why is everybody so angry in sports all the time about everything? It's supposed to be the fun part of life.
Absolutely. Well, Mitch, it's a real treat to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us, and everybody got to get out and see Duck Hunter Shoots Angel this weekend.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on. Thanks to everybody who is going out there to see it, and I look forward to hearing about the production.
Thanks again, Mitch. We appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.